Welcome to ClinPharm Pod. I'm Elena Webster, Deputy Managing Editor for the ASCPT family of journals. My guests today are Dr. Rebecca Mixad, Associate Professor at Boston University and Associate Editor for Clinical Pharmacology and Therapeutics, Dr. Sebastian Schneeweiss, Professor at Harvard Medical School and Guest Editor for the upcoming themed issue we'll be discussing today, and of course, frequent guest on the podcast, Dr. Pete Vandergraff, Senior Vice President at Certera and Editor-in-Chief of CPT. Pete, it's always so good to have you join us. And Rebecca and Sebastian, welcome to ClinPharm Pod.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Newest call for papers is seeking research related to pharmacoepidemiology, particularly as it relates to a bench-to-budget approach. Rebecca, you came up with the title for this theme, which I love, by the way. What made bench-to-budget occur to you, and why is CPT choosing to highlight pharmacoepidemiology in 2025?
It's a really good question. And I, when I think about CPT, fabulous in terms of the pharmacology and the therapeutics. And what I noticed was a gap between understanding the therapeutics and actually how they get decided to be given as treatment to patients, which is really a budget issue. Whether you're thinking of a literal hospital budget or more, I think is more applicable here is an HTA decision making and how payers decide to cover a particular therapeutic or not. And there's a lot of research that needs to go into those decision makings beyond a simple clinical trial, but also really understanding how they work in the real world for real patients within context of a payer and a healthcare system.
Thank you. Sebastian, it's my understanding that pharmacoepidemiology is a bit of an umbrella term that encompasses a lot of different topics. How does this focus connect to various aspects of clinical pharmacology and translational medicine?
Yeah, let me first say that when Rebecca contacted me first, it took me about 10 seconds to decide that I want to do this. I'm super excited about this issue because we need to think more holistically about evidence generation. Many journals are chopping it into randomized trials in the early phase, pharmacoepidemiology studies in the later phases, but that's not how the world really is. It's all highly integrated, and we need to integrate evidence generation more from the very first trials in humans to budget decisions, quite frankly. And we need to recognize that there are multiple different ways to generate evidence that complement each other. They don't compete with each other. There are randomized trials, there are pharmacoepidemiologic studies, often with large databases. And in both of these fields, we have made tremendous advances over the decades. And the hope is that in this issue, what will come through is how these approaches complement each other and how they serve different stakeholders and how they can be efficiently integrated so that we're not generating evidence doubly or triply, but rather be more efficient so that safe and effective medications can come to patients faster in this world of innovation.
Well, Sebastian, it took about 10 seconds for me to identify you as who I wanted as the guest editor. Because of your role here in integrating the evidence from the beginning through the end, starting as a pharmacoepidemiologist and then expanding much more broadly.
Absolutely. And while I don't do randomized trials myself, I was trained as a pharmacoepidemiologist, it is obvious that the clinical trials are the reference standard for showing the efficacy and effectiveness of medications. But it's exactly this the smart integration of these different ways of generating evidence that will satisfy the many stakeholders in the medical enterprise, that is patients first and foremost, that is guideline writers, that is payers, that is regulators, that is pharma companies, that is bench researchers. All of that needs to be seen holistically. And I think, Rebecca, with this issue, I think we'll achieve that. And we are looking for articles that cover the entire range and always kind of have this thought about how to integrate evidence rather than having pieces of evidence as standalone pieces.
Or the hammer and the nail issue, always thinking we have to do a clinical trial for every single thing when we may not ever be able to do all those clinical trials we want to do. And by trying to do them, we may be excluding other opportunities that we could have used another approach for.
You're so right. As much as we love randomized trials, I think it's widely accepted at this point by every stakeholder that we'll never see all the trials that we would want to see. And the question is, should we just shrug our shoulders and say, well, too bad, there's no evidence there. Let's just extrapolate from the few trials that we have. Or can we do better? And I'm convinced that we can do better with modern methods of causal inference from non-randomized studies. And all that, I would love to see reflected in this issue.
And I just want to let everyone know that this is exactly what our planning calls for this issue are always like. It is brilliant minds trading great ideas. And it's been really fun putting this together. And Sebastian, we're so glad that you did agree to be a guest editor and very pleased that it only took you 10 seconds. Pete, Sebastian brought up a good point about different types of articles. Can you walk me through what topics you all would really like to see in the issue? And are there specific types of submissions or research you're hoping to receive?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. So previous speakers already mentioned in drug development, it's increasingly recognized that integration of clinical pharmacology, pharmacoepidemiology, and health economics and outcomes research is critical to the ultimate goal of bringing impactful novel therapeutics to patients. Now, this emerging area has been recognized by the editorial leadership team of clinical pharmacology and therapeutics as a high priority topic. And the goal of the bench to budget special issue is to explore opportunity and challenges at the intersection of drug development, population health, and economic evaluation. So we welcome submissions on a variety of topics. For example, opportunities and applications of integrated evidence generation in drug discovery and development, including trial design and analysis. Now, we're also looking forward for examples of integration of clinical pharmacology with payer and health technology access, pharmacovigilance and post-marketing surveillance and population health and policy decision making. And lastly, we also invite submissions about the future of integrating the full spectrum of integrated evidence generation, in particular, artificial intelligence, machine learning to improve evidence generation, and precision medicine.
And what about article types? I know original research is highly sought after. Are there other manuscript types you'd find particularly interesting?
Yeah, you're right that we always strongly encourage the submission of original research, which also includes systematic reviews and brief reports. However, we will also consider reviews, white papers, and educational tutorial-style papers. Now, prospective authors are always encouraged to contact our editorial office to, you know, discuss their ideas before submitting. And just to point out that to be considered for publication in this themed issue, manuscripts should be submitted via the online submission and tracking system no later than September 30th.
Thanks, Pete. And a heads up, I just sent you a pre-submission inquiry about 10 minutes before we hopped on this podcast. So that's in your inbox now. Rebecca, what's the value in submitting for a themed issue? Why wait to publish in a specific issue if you have research ready now?
Always want to encourage high quality original research. So please send it in. If you do see a special issue that is particularly relevant for your research, or even your research could be packaged to apply to a particular themed issue, what I find is that you really get more people to see your research, and it has a bigger impact because somebody may go to the journal because of the theme and therefore run across your issue when they may not usually read the journal cover to cover. Of course, you should read the journal cover to cover, but if you're coming just for the theme topic, you'll run into articles that you may not have known to seek out. So it really provides a linchpin pressure point where we can pull together relevant articles and really develop a community around these topics. And one of the things I've been really focusing on is to increase the diversity of the article topics, as well as the types of authors that are submitting, who may not usually think of CPT around an economic evaluation or HTA. And we really want to have that nexus of opinions, because we need everybody to be contributing to these really tough questions that all of us have, US and international, around how we pay for healthcare and what we should be paying for.
We completely agree. And I will also just note that We in the journal editorial office do a lot to promote these issues, which is not done for all issues of CPT. For instance, this podcast, you know, we'll really highlight a special themed issue. So it is a really good way to get a few more eyes on your research than possibly publishing in just your standard issue. Sebastian, turning to you, how would you describe your experience as a guest editor? I'm sure many people kind of wonder what that entails. I know you said that it took you all of 10 seconds to decide to say yes when Rebecca approached you, but how did she approach you, and what have your contributions been so far?
Right. Rebecca and I are going back at least 10 years, if not longer, and working together and exchanging ideas and in different roles. As I mentioned, the context, the topic area is extremely exciting for me from the immediate beginning. But once I learned more about the process, I realized that being a guest editor for CPT is almost kind of having the best of both worlds, because you can influence the theme with your ideas and with invitations for original research, invitations for some review and state-of-the-art papers. But you have such a professional editorial team behind you, such an experienced editor-in-chief, that I was promised I don't have to copy, edit, and review in detail every manuscript that's getting submitted, right? So it's the excitement of creating something that I don't think many journals have achieved so far in integrating how we produce evidence, but at the same time, not being bothered with the day-to-day nitty-gritty of running a journal. So it's I'm really excited.
Thank you. That brings me to the end of my prepared questions, but do any of you have any additional thoughts you'd like to share before we wrap up?
Well, we'd just like to thank you, Elena, for the invite to ClinPharm Pod. Always a pleasure. And also my two fellow editors for leading this special themed issue. It's a great, you know, it's a great privilege to work together with two world leaders in the fields. And finally, if I may, I would also like to highlight two other upcoming CPT-themed issues, one on getting the dosage right, which will be published in September, and at the end of the year, a dedicated issue on the very important topic of rare and orphan diseases.
Thank you, Pete. And thank you all for joining me today. It's been so great to have you on here. I think it's been an excellent conversation, and I really can't wait for people to learn more about our bench-to-budget issue. This call for papers is available on the ASCPT website, and we'll also include a link in the description of this episode. All submissions are due by September 30th, 2024, so if you have any questions about manuscript types or submitting to CPT, please feel free to contact me at alaina@ascpt.org. That's alaina@ascpt.org. Thank you for listening to ClinPharm Pod. Be sure to check out past episodes while you're here, and remember to visit ascpt.org for updated podcast releases, our latest webinars, and the most recent issue of all three journals.